All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
And welcome back to Taxation is Theft, the show that talks about all the ways the government is ripping you off and what you can do to stop them. Broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube from an underground bunker deep within the jungles of Mexico, I'm Dan Taxation is Theft Berman, former candidate for President of the United States, currently in the race for governor of Texas. And today I've got Trent and Roy, who are veterans of the Boogaloo movement and the military and founding members of the RCLM. There's a lot going on with police shootings, and it looks like we're due for another wave of riots. So we're going to be talking about that, and I think we're going to have some really interesting insights for you today. Before we get started, of course, if you're watching the live streams, make sure to like and share, ask your questions, leave your comments, fight the algorithms because they are suppressing this channel. Because, you know, we talk about the stuff that they don't want you to hear about, like the Boog and everything else. The list is too long. How to not pay taxes. Tonight's episode is also brought to you by the Nug of Knowledge, indoor-grown, chemical-free, smokable hemp flower and Delta 8 vape cartridges, legal in all 50 states. Go get elevated at nugofknowledge.com. And now, on to the show. Welcome, guys. How's it going?
Going on, Dan.
What's happening?
Yo, so, man, we were just talking about this, and... This is what happened. We didn't plan this, but we had already planned the show, and then of course something happened, and now we're preparing for more riots. And last night I saw there was even there wasn't too much detail in the article, but it was, again, you know, it looked like some Boogaloo guys out there with their rifles protecting small businesses from these riots, which of course started over another police shooting in Minneapolis, no less. Or no, it is Minnesota.
Brooklyn Center. It's just north of Minneapolis.
Yeah, so not too far. And it sucks. I mean, it's you know, this stuff happened again. And there's actually two of them that happened recently. There was the one with the it looked like an army soldier or something. He was in his car and they were yelling at him to get out of the car, and they ended up it looked like they just maced him and that was it. It was like over nothing. It was ridiculous.
That was one of the most racist things I've seen in a long time, because they profiled the shit out of him. They didn't know who he was. All they saw that was he looked like a dark individual, and before they even walked up to the door, they had their guns drawn and were like ordering him out of the vehicle. Like he didn't even get a chance to like say, "Hey, I'm so and so," let alone he was a commissioned officer in the army. Like,
do you know what the original stop was for on that one?
I don't.
Did they say it was? So I heard some people, and, you know, a lot of this is rumors. The information comes from a lot of different places. They said that this guy, you know, he was, because everyone, you know, they always try to justify what the police did, right? He was evading the police for several minutes. He was leading them on a chase. And no, it didn't look like that at all. In fact, this is what most Americans don't realize, because they all live in the city. Outside of the city, when you get on the highways and there's like not much, it's really, really dark, and you don't want to get stopped by the police out there, especially if you are a minority, because we all know what happens. And so it's not really a crime. And I've done this before. People do this all the time to continue driving. You put on your blinker or something and let them know you're going to pull over. But you wait for a little bit until you get to a gas station, and that's exactly what it looked like this guy did. He pulled into a gas station where there's lots of light, because we saw exactly what happened on those body cams, right? But could you imagine if this was like in the middle of nowhere where there was no light at all except for like the blinking, you know, red and blue police lights, and you know, what would the body cams have seen then? And then it would be everybody, the cop probably, there's probably a gun visible in there. We just can't see because the video is so bad. That's the kind of crap that happens. So you want to stop in a bright area. This is something you should always do. And if you can, pull into a parking space where you can leave your car, because you never know if you're going to end up getting arrested. You know, if they, this is an interesting one, they can't always search your car depending on what they stop you for or what they arrest you for. They can't always search your car, but if they have to tow your car because you pulled over on the side of the road, then they have to do an inventory, right? So they go through your entire car and they're not searching. They're just doing an inventory. So you don't accuse them of stealing something later. And then, oh, we found some drugs that we planted on you. So, you know, if you can, it's not always possible, but if you can, pull into a parking spot where if anything goes really bad, you can at least get out of your car and lock it and they can't search it. And you can leave it there.
You know, it's not even the fact that it's well lit. I mean, it's just safer for the rest of the people driving, that for the cops and
yourself. Yeah, that too. Absolutely.
Well, and the other point that I want to make too on the traffic stop is, being that he is not only a commissioned officer, but was, I mean, obviously in the military, the chain of command, if you get any kind of traffic violation for any reason, I mean, it could be a speeding ticket, you didn't use your turn signal, it doesn't matter. I mean, there are consequences that you pay, not just with, you know, the court or the law. You end up paying the consequences through the military as well. Yeah. So the chain of command, if they were to find out about, you know, the scenario, let's say, you know, the lieutenant was actually guilty of whatever, if the chain of command found out, there would be a huge issue for the lieutenant, especially because he's a commissioned officer and he's a leader in the military. So quite honestly, he would be on his best behavior no matter what, because of the simple fact he doesn't want this to get back to his chain of command. So the way that they harassed him, he acted within the confines of his rights and legality. I mean, he went to a well-lit area. They told him to exit the vehicle, and he wanted to know why. They didn't even tell him the reason why they stopped him. They just ordered him out of the car. And, you know, for that, you know, he had every right to just remain seated. And for them to pepper spray him and escalate the force, I mean, it's absurd to me. He did the absolute right thing.
Did you hear what the cops said to him? I just looked at the article. They said, They said, your service is like, he told him, he said, he identified, I'm a lieutenant, I'm serving in your country, and this is how I'm treated. And the cops like, your service isn't going to save you in this country. And then he said, honestly, I'm afraid to get out. And the cops said, you should be. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And I mean, you know, and you hear a lot of people who say, well, you know, he could have just gotten out of the car, you know, and let's assume these were nice cops. These were good cops. They weren't going to do anything wrong. He could have just gotten out of the car. Yeah, sure. But the cop could have just told him what he stopped him for.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's amazing how a lot of people, and I get it, right? It's fear, because for most normies, right? Like think back to like, I don't know if you guys were ever in this place, but like, you know, I used to, when I grew up, I went through like all the government indoctrination and like the DARE classes and everything else. And it's like, at some point, it's like, oh yeah, no, the police know what they're doing and they're trying to keep everybody safe. So, you know, you should just go along with it or whatever they say.
Trust them.
And there's kind of a fear of like anything that opposes them is like, there's a little bit of fear there of like, oh, I might get in trouble because I'm not helping society be a better place or something, you know? So there's like a fear, right? It's not necessarily, yeah, oh, the cops are bad and they're going to kill me, but it's like, yeah, I can't oppose the, you know, the mainstream narrative. And so you have people who, you know, this is just kind of like their natural thing to really just kind of like defend the police, because, you know, this throws them into cognitive dissonance, right? If they realize like, oh my God, the police are not there to protect and serve, nobody's safe, we're all gonna die, right? That's kind of like the two options you get to choose between. And so it's much more comforting to just like go into denial and believe that like, no, this was just a mistake, you know, it doesn't always happen like this, and you know, is miscommunication, it was an accident, you know, the cops are really good people, and everyone kind of jumps to that defense, and that's really, really kind of sad.
So did you see where? Oh, go ahead, Roy.
It's the same thing if you're riding as a passenger in somebody's vehicle and they get pulled over for speeding and the cop comes up to your side of the window and asks for your identification. You don't have to give it over. There's no reason. You're not the subject
Right.
of the crime or anything. And you know, some people are just willing to hand over their identification. It just so that
Right.
way there's no problems, you know. And that's I if I'm not the subject in question, I'm not handing my ID over. There's no reason. All they're doing is fishing for another arrest or another collar.
Did you see where it was in Virginia? It's a place called Windsor. 2000 like 2500 population, and it's 89% white. So as a as an African American person driving in the middle of nowhere in Virginia, I mean, I think you, knowing its history, you would be a little bit
Right.
trepidation to like want to just get out of your car, you know.
Right. And I mean, it's weird too, because you see a lot of people in denial that there's any kind of racism, especially in police departments. And it's like, yeah, it, you know, even if it's not the majority, there's always that chance. Look at what we're doing with COVID, right? There's a 99% survival rate with COVID. And like everyone's like treating it like it's the end of the world. And I don't want to say there's less than a 99% survival rate with getting stopped, but there's at least less than a 99% rate of getting harassed. Especially if you've got darker skin. And it's yeah, I mean, I know people who will say, and you know, yeah, they might be exaggerating a little bit. Who will say they've been harassed every single time they've been stopped. They've never just been given a ticket and let go, right? So it's and sometimes it's not always as bad. Sometimes they're just assholes and you know they're you know they ask inappropriate questions, but it's and this is an interesting one too. And I know I'm gonna piss some people off with this. So they say you know if you have nothing to hide, you shouldn't have to worry about like you know, searches or seizures. You're talking about you know, if you're a passenger, like, why don't I just show him my ID, right? Let me just I don't have anything to hide. And like, I was thinking, you know, like, you know, people, they say the same thing about like internet searches, right? What, I don't have anything to hide. Why should I care if the government's snooping through like my computer and my internet and my cell phone and all my phone calls and everything else? Oh, you don't have anything to hide. Do you put on clothes when you go outdoors? Ask this to anybody. You know, you have guys running around like, you know, these creepy guys that are like, oh, there's a girl in a skirt. I'm gonna see if I can sneak a picture with my camera under her skirt. Why is there any problem with that? You don't have anything to hide, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's like we come up with this, like, we have our privacy to hide. I mean, like that's it. It's our bodies, our property. Maybe we have money that we want to hide, not just from the government because we don't want to pay taxes, because we don't want to get robbed by our neighbors. There are so many things we all have to hide and legitimate reasons to hide them.
You're right.
Like this is that's absolute bullshit for this. Well, what are you trying to hide? Someone
You
just
know,
commented the fourth. That's exactly why the fourth is there.
now I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh, going back to Roy's point too with like the military, like as a lieutenant, if he gets in trouble and if he were to do any kind of like serious anything, like even I'm not even I don't, I'm not sure like about a DUI or whatever, but anything worse than a DUI, he would lose his commission. And he would lose his career and forever have the stain on his record as a other than honorable discharge. And those last with you just as much as a felon does, a felony does.
Oh,
So
certain discharges, they are like a felony.
right,
They're the
like
equivalent of it.
people that have like have what's the what dishonorable discharge, they can't get VA or any kind of government assistance for their military service. They can't go to school like that. And there are you could serve 20 years in the military and get a dishonorable discharge and it'll be for nothing. You can't use any of your benefits.
But we're not talking about, like, you don't lose voting rights or gun rights, gun ownership rights, or anything.
Gun ownership affected.
Gun ownership, yeah.
Wow.
If you have a dishonorable discharge, it's hard for you to get a gun anywhere. I don't know, but voting, I don't think so. Unless you actually got a felony, like, tried by military, like if you killed somebody on base or something.
Typically, dishonorable discharges are for very serious offenses that would equate to a felony charge anyway. I mean, you could end up with a bad conduct discharge, and I'm not sure the characterization of that, what would come out of that, but, like, bad conduct discharge is pretty bad, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's up, Magnus?
Hey, buddy.
So let's talk about this other one. There was a kid who had a weapons charge, and he was stopped for, I guess they said initially it was for expired tags, and then later on it was for having a air freshener hanging from his mirror. Yeah. This is the one where she shot him and she thought she was holding her taser. I want to look this up. What's it called? Air freshener. I feel like I'm losing my voice. because I remember when I was let's see. Yes, police can pull you over for hanging an air freshener. And this is what I hate about these articles, right? So this is an article. And here, let me actually let me see if I can share my screen here. This is what sucks about the research. Sorry, give me one second here. Here we go. So if you try to research something like this, right? You're going to get to this page. They're going to have an article. Yes, police can pull you over for hanging an air freshener in your car. This actually is, like, directly related to the one April 13th, right?
Okay.
Dante Wright. Okay, so moments before police fatally shot him, he called his mother and told her he'd been pulled over for a hanging air freshener. This link goes to CNN. Okay, Minnesota state laws. Oh, wow. There we go. Okay, so this is rare, actually, where they actually show the law. Because I've seen so many of these articles where the law is not represented in any way by the way it is. And I mean, shit, you can go to the IRS website and find a million contradictions to the actual Internal Revenue Code, but that's not even news. So a person shall not drive or operate any motor vehicle with any object suspended between the driver and the windshield other than sun visors, rearview mirrors, driver feedback, and safety monitoring equipment. Now this is updated because, so, like, when it talks about safety monitoring equipment, think about what else could be suspended from your windshield, like a dash cam.
Right.
And so the reason they say this, right, and I think California's law had more to do with obstructing your view. And it could have been written a little bit more like this, but here. Yeah, here's the actual language. So this is, I want to see if this is, like, actual language. Okay. Yeah, they just took it from the. So this is actually even a shorter version of it, but it also includes GPS navigation systems. When mounted or located near the bottommost portion of the windshield. So, like, they're even telling you where you can stick it on there. And so, like, in theory, the reason they put this stuff here is things that aren't supposed to block your view. And this is what's so ridiculous about the law, right? What if you had one of the self-driving cars? And, like, we've seen these cars where, like, you know, people are uploading videos, like, where they're sleeping as the car drives itself. 'Cause that's, like, the level this technology's gotten to.
That's fucking terrifying.
It is. It is. But what if this person puts a rear view a screen over his window, you know, to block out the sun so he can get some sleep while his car's driving itself, right? Like, see, this is the thing. This law is there and it's supposedly for safety, but the reality is they don't consider everything, right? And they never can because nobody knows the future. Nobody knows what kind of new technology is going to come out, right? And so what they try to do is they come up with all these arbitrary rules, which eventually get out of date. And sometimes it takes, you know, forever for them to update something so that we can do something that we consider fair. And a lot of times what happens, and here's a perfect example. When I grew up in California, I remember it was like the late 90s, like right around the year 2000. They repealed a law that made it illegal to throw a football on the beach or a frisbee.
In California? So
in California. They repealed it, and I didn't even know there was a law. But apparently the whole time I was growing up, it was illegal to throw a frisbee or a football on the beach.
What the hell?
And it's like they come up with all this ridiculous stuff. And like, yeah, okay, maybe like back in the 70s, the beaches were so crowded and people were throwing footballs and they were like knocking people's hot dogs out of their hands or something. I don't know. Like maybe it became a nuisance. But like they always come up with laws and they try to control society based on arbitrary rules, never knowing the outcome, never knowing what's going to happen, never knowing how long those are going to be there or what the side effects are going to be when society starts to change. And what's really terrible about these things is we used to always go to the beach. There was always people throwing frisbees and footballs. They were all breaking the law. But when the cops are there and they know it's illegal and they're not doing anything about it until there's one guy and he's like, I don't like you. You've got a football. I'm going to arrest you.
It's like that.
You're breaking the law.
I think it was in California too. That guy that got arrested by the cops for eating a sandwich on the subway station or whatever.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. So they become, you know, when the law is so ridiculous that most people don't follow it and most people don't even know it's illegal, because that's the other thing, right? How can you be expected to follow the law if you don't even know what the law is? And it's like, are we supposed to all go? And like, I'm not talking about like, you know, the laws about opening a bank. You know, if you're going to do that, yeah, you're probably going to talk to a lawyer. But the law's just about your own conduct as a human being as you travel throughout the city. Like, are we supposed to go to law school so we can learn how to do that properly and not get arrested?
That's what they want.
I talked about it. I'm on a podcast. And I had talked about it in one of the episodes, just kind of like the dumb laws that they have in place. I mean, and it comes back to what I really think it is they are looking for a way to continue to make their paycheck in office, because it used to be, you know, being in Congress was an elected position and you would sit there for however long to figure whatever scenario out. And then you went back home to your regular life until you had to come back into office, and you were paid based on the time that you were seated in Congress. And you weren't paid, you weren't given a yearly salary. You were just given the paycheck on how long you were there. Now they have to sit in Congress and they do nothing but talk about and come up with new laws and everything like that. And it's like, how many more laws can you come up with? And what I know, like one of the dumb laws here in Ohio was like, you can't have more than 5 women living in a house or something like that at one time. And it's like, but how do you enforce that? And if it does get enforced, what are the penalties? Like, and how do you choose to do that?
I remember listening to that, man. That, yeah, you're absolutely right. Cage and I were talking about some laws when we had one of our meetings. I think you might have been there, Roy. It's illegal in Texas to be vulgar to a police officer or something, or to swear in public. Not to a police officer. It's illegal to swear in public or use profanity in public.
And I'm pretty sure I heard one ruling on that one time that was like somebody has to be offended by it in order for it to be chargeable. And that offended person cannot be the police.
Not
so. Yeah. But it's I remember I was in California when I heard that, but I don't know if it might have been from another state. It was a long time ago. But we do have the Supreme Court saying it's okay to tell the police to go fuck themselves.
Well, now Biden's opening up the door for more justices to sit on the Supreme Court so he can sway the advantage towards his way of doing things.
You know, it's really interesting because this is really difficult to even figure out how to say this. I've talked to a lot of people who are very, very opinionated. They're very strong on their opinions, and their opinions have absolutely no correlation with the law or the legal system or how it works. And what I see as something dangerous, and I know these are usually kind of on the fringe. It's not like this is a majority of the population or anything. Although, to a very minor degree it is. But what's scary is what happens when these people start getting elected to positions like judges. I mean, we already have people writing absolutely insane laws. What happens when we have a Supreme Court that is so hell-bent on, you know, making their opinions the law that the Constitution doesn't matter at all? The rule of law doesn't matter anymore. Common law is gone. And they're just sitting there like, oh, well, this guy didn't pay his taxes. We don't need to know what the law says. We just know he didn't pay his taxes. That's all we need to know. He's going to jail. Or I don't care what the Second Amendment says. This guy had a gun. I don't care that it was registered. Doesn't matter. The fact that he had it, the fact that he typed online, I own a gun, he's going to jail. And the Supreme Court is now so opinionated in that direction. They went to law school. They understand the laws, but they say, you know what? We don't care anymore. What happens when that happens? And what's really scary is, and this is why I always say, it doesn't matter who's elected. It doesn't matter who's in the government. What matters is what the public thinks, because if that happens, either the public is going to say, yeah, finally, or they're going to say no, and we want a revolution. And if the public generally agrees with, I think the public is going to be shifting in that direction before those people get into that place, because, you know, they help them get there. But if that's the direction things are heading, that's extremely dangerous.
It's just setting precedent after precedent for new things that could be possible. That's something I kind of wanted to talk about tonight too, is incrementalism. I was listening to Larry Sharp's show. He had one a few days back, and it was about, he was taking calls for incrementalism. While it's good if we're doing it for the right things, what they're doing to us right now is a negative incrementalism. Like it's taking these little things bit by bit by bit to where it's barely noticeable. And then to the point to where they can have any overarching type of law without anybody having anything to say about it.
Yeah. And it's, Roy said he'll be right back. And it's interesting too, because I mean, I've considered a lot of how we got to where we are. And, you know, I do think some degree of incrementalism in the opposite direction is what's needed. Like, you know, we're not going to be able to, and for so many reasons, right? One, you know, people just aren't going to be able to adjust. You know, if we eliminated Social Security today, everyone's going to panic. And, you know, who knows, that could turn into riots in the street over food and, you know, people not getting what they need. It could turn in. So like, I think there does need to be some degree of incrementalism, right? Like, and I know a lot of people say like, oh yeah, no, like it's, you know, it's the cancer. You got to get rid of the cancer. You don't just like cut out half of the cancer, right? You got to cut out the whole cancer. But the reality is, yeah, but if somebody like comes into a doctor's office and says, I have cancer, the doctor doesn't just like take a shovel and go like, ah, there it goes. It's out.
You're done.
Like, you know, it's, yeah, it's a very like precision type thing. You got to get anesthetics. They got to put you out. They got to like monitor your blood pressure and everything else, make sure you don't die. And like, oh my God, if like you start having a heart attack or, you know, something goes wrong during the surgery, it's not like they're going to say, well, we can't stop taking out the cancer. Yeah, they're going to stop taking out the cancer to make sure you don't die. And then once they have you stable again, they're going to finish taking it out. So I think there is a little bit more nuance to that argument. But, you know, yeah, the end game would be to get rid of all these destructive programs. It just takes it takes a little bit of that, you know, precision surgery to make that happen.
Yeah. I think that we need to, I was just going to talk about that. I think we need to try to find candidates that are open to not going to one extreme or the other, and finding people to represent us that are willing to work and get somewhere, but not spin their wheels and plan for their next campaign.
Right.
But they are making a very strong case for gun control, because that's a pretty crazy way to look at it, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to bring this up because, you know, again, we're talking about the riots that are going on, and people are defending their businesses with their guns. Okay, this situation with the kid who had a weapons charge and he got stopped.
Dante.
They ended up shooting him. Okay, so he had a weapons charge. Apparently, it was just for possession. And I don't know the details on it. It could have been. It was simple possession. He didn't have a license for it. It wasn't registered, something like that. Not a big crime. He wasn't threatening anybody with it. He wasn't committing armed robbery. He wasn't doing any real crime. And so this resulted in his death. Right. He didn't really do anything wrong. You can't look at him and say, you know, and like, I don't know how much I can commit to that, because someone's going to be like, oh yeah, no, he, you know, 5 years ago he did. And it's like, okay, fine. But he didn't try to shoot the police. He didn't even try to attack the police. He was just trying to get away. He had a weapons charge, which was not from using a weapon violently against somebody. I think they said he had some like pictures, like where he was throwing up gang signs and holding up pictures of money and stuff like that. But it's like, so fucking what? It's like Jay-Z said, he's from the hood, stupid. What types of facts are those? None of that really matters. But at the end of the day, they're saying, oh, we want more gun laws, right? We need more gun restrictions. Well, people are still going to get the guns. They're still going to have them. And so all you're asking for is easier ways for them to have a warrant for some bullshit weapons charge, right? Oh, he had a magazine that had 11 bullets instead of 10. Weapons charge. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't show up to court on time. So the day after, he's got a warrant and he gets stopped by the police and they end up killing him. Because he had a gun, everything was legal, except for the fact that he had too many bullets. That was it. And the more laws that you have like this, the more people are going to end up getting killed by the police. This is absolutely insane. And this is part of the stigma of it, too. Because like I said, right, imagine there were no gun laws, right? Imagine there were no gun laws. That doesn't mean this kid's going to go and shoot somebody, right? Because shooting somebody, killing somebody is still murder, right? Right. Robbing a place is still robbing a place. He already had the gun. He already broke that law. But imagine if that wasn't a crime, because I don't know if he saw that as a crime or not. I don't see it as a crime. But he has this weapons charge. Now, just the fact that you can say, oh, he had a weapons charge, that's got a stigma to it. Like I hear that and I'm like, yeah, that could be bullshit. But most people hear that and they're like, oh, well, weapons charge. Well, why would he have a weapons charge unless he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing? And it's like, that could mean, you know, he's just sitting there scratching his head like, like, you know, on YouTube, like making a stupid, I don't know, like it could be fucking anything. Oh, that's illegal. That's a crime now. It's a weapons charge.
Yep.
Could have been completely unloaded. Could have been a BB gun.
Today, fucking felonies are it's modern day slavery. I mean, that's how it was started in the beginning when they started classifying people as felons. It was another way to get African American people put in jail or used for, because back in the day they used to do forced labor. That's what, like, they were labor camps when you served your time. So it was another way to add enslavement. But now it's becoming all encompassing. There's not a race issue anymore when it comes to felonies. There's a systematic racism when it comes to the people that are involved, but as far as the people that are being arrested and charged, it's all encompassing of everybody. Like I'm on felony probation, deferred adjudication for something that happened almost 7 years ago, and I fought the case for 4 years, didn't have the money to get a new attorney, and was offered a deal, and I thought taking the deal was the right decision. I didn't know anything about it. I've never been in trouble before.
Right. Oh, here's now one.
I have to ask permission to leave the county to fucking go do anything. Like,
it's ridiculous. Weapons charge. So I had a friend who he was in Texas. He's from Tennessee. And he was visiting a town that a long story, sad story. I don't want to get into the details of it, but he was there for a week and he was sleeping out of his car. And he had his pistol and his rifle. And his rifle was in, it was like a, I guess it was like a flatbed truck. And he had like one of those like lockers in the back. So his rifle was in there. But he had his pistol up front with him. Now, in Kentucky, what was it? In Kentucky, if you sleep in your car, you're supposed to leave your gun visible. So he put it on the dashboard. In Texas, you're supposed to hide it. So, yeah. So he's like, he didn't know any better. He's like, I'm just visiting. I'm from Kentucky. So his gun was visible. Somebody called the police. They didn't even see the gun. They just said, there's some guy sleeping in front of my house in his car. So they called the police. The police came by because, you know, oh my God, somebody's sleeping in their car. That's a crime. They see the gun because it's there in plain view. Now he's got a weapons charge. No, I'm sorry, officer. Oh, I'm supposed to hide the gun if I sleep in my car? Okay, I'll hide it now. I'm sorry, I didn't know. Like, can we have civilized conversations like that?
Mandatory minimum sentencing in those cases are fucking awful. Because, like, the cop has a body cam now, so everything gets recorded. So there's no more of this, okay, I'll let you go, even if it ever did happen, on a warning. Right. Now it's all recorded. And so he was fucked either way.
This is what's interesting, too. Like, We see all the time, right? The cops doing all this dirty shit and they never get prosecuted for it, right?
Right.
But what do they get? What do they get really punished for?
For
taking bribes?
Yeah, I guess.
And I'm think about this, right? Because the government is like, they want their fucking cut, right? They're like, you can do whatever you want. You can arrest people. You can crush their heads. You can mace them. You can shoot them in the back of the face, whatever. You can do all this stuff. Shoot them in the back of the face. I don't even back know what that means.
It works. Don't do it.
Yeah, eventually, if it goes through. You can do all this stuff. We don't care. Have at it. Plant drugs on people. Go for it. Do whatever you like. But whatever you do, you don't take bribes. If you catch someone doing a crime, you have to write that citation so we can get the money. Like, that's fucking insane to me.
Oh, here's like the biggest thing. Like, when we talk about incrementalization and we talk about just kind of like the attitude shift and everything like that. I mean, sleeping in your car shouldn't be something that you get bothered for. I mean, honestly, I mean, there's like, it's the same as like a guy who goes to a bar and gets drunk and walks outside and sleeps in their car. they're going to be harassed. I mean, he did the right thing by sleeping in his car instead of driving home, but yet he will likely catch a DUI off of that, which is bullshit. Yep. I mean, now it's understandable. I mean, he could wake up, you know, in the middle of it, still drunk, get in his car or start his car and drive away. But I mean, it's just in certain states you have to have
innocent until proven guilty. He hasn't done it yet, so you can't you can't charge him with that. But yeah, that's what they do. It's like, and it's ridiculous, right? Because you might be in a cold place. I have a friend who lives in Alaska. If you turn the car on to stay warm and you're sitting in the driver's seat, that's a DUI.
Yep.
I know a guy in the military that got a DUI, or I can't remember if it was a DUI or what he got for sleeping in his car instead of driving back on base. But he goes back to like what Roy was saying. He got in trouble with the military. He got non-judicial punishment and lost half his pay and was confined to his barracks room for 30 days on top of what he had to pay for the DUI or whatever the charge was.
Article 15.
Yep.
I mean, and it's the public mentality and the public shift and how it looks at everything. I mean, and that's why, like, when you hear weapons charges, instead of asking the question of what exactly happened, you know, like people right away, because of this decline in everybody thinking that having a weapon is necessary on any level at all. I mean, like, your self-defense should be priority number one, especially since the Supreme Court ruled that the police aren't there to protect you. I think, if I'm correct, it's Warren versus the District of Columbia. I'll have to double check that. But
they've done it numerous times, different cases. Yeah.
And so the public is no longer in belief that you can carry a weapon. There is a lot of people who believe that owning a firearm anymore is just not the right thing to do. So when they start to hear like, oh, there was a weapons charge or whatever, they don't even care what it's about. They don't care if it was just, I was sleeping in my car. I didn't have it in the correct lockbox that they were asking me to transport it. Because in some states, you have to have your magazine separated and locked in a different box and just locked in a glove box or whatever. And, you know, and that's a weapons charge that follows you for the rest of your life. And so that becomes a stain, because if you were to get pulled over for a speeding ticket, that also sets the tone of what your traffic, the interaction with the police is going to be as well, is because they're just going to see it was a weapons charge. And they're going to come up with the gun drawn on you, and there's going to be all these different issues. And let's say it hits the news then after that, like this case with the lieutenant from the Army. That's right there. That's an escalated situation, you know, and it could have been a very different story had the news opened up with a lieutenant in the United States Army charged formerly with weapons charges is pulled over by police and pepper sprayed. Guarantee you that the narrative would be completely different. Right now, we don't exactly know what exactly he was pulled over for or the reason or why. And so right now, there's nobody that's really casting judgment, except you're going to have your typical judgment from people who want to judge based off the skin color. Like, oh, okay, you know, another person in trouble again, like another minority, you know. And it's like that mindset and that shift in the mentality needs to change. Everything needs to change about the public and society. But it's there again, it's also put in place by the government and politics and how they want to persuade people to think.
Absolutely. I'm trying to look up if it says what he was stopped for. That's really weird. If anybody watching knows what it was, comments, but
I've tried looking and I didn't see anything, but I was also looking.
I don't see anything
when the videos were coming out.
I don't see anything, which is really strange. And you know, it's not unusual for the police to just, you know, not say, you know, which is funny, right? Because, you know, they want us, we have no expectation of privacy, right? As soon as they stop us, Why don't you want to answer this question, right? They'll ask you the most, like, where are you going? I don't want to answer that question. Why don't you want to answer that question? What's wrong? Are you going to your drug dealer's house? Are you going somewhere that you shouldn't be going? Like, that's their attitude. But then as soon as they do something wrong, they know, shut the fuck up, right?
Yep.
That's like, they know the rule book. I don't know if Trent's camera turned off or if he walked away for a minute. But what else was I going to say? So, um, I know I kind of wanted to lead into this BLM thing that's going on, because I think it's always really, really, really important that, you know, if you don't like somebody, that's fine. But if you're going to go after them for something legitimate. And so I've seen this story going around a lot, and it's the woman who, I guess it's the Marxist woman who runs BLM, just bought like, you know, $2.5-3.5 million worth of houses. And like, and everyone's like, oh my God, she bought all these houses. She's a criminal. And what's weird is a lot of people saying this are like ANCAP, you know, capitalist, you know, all these types of people, right? And I'm like, what's the crime in buying houses? Now, of course, like, you know, there's more to that story, right? There's apparently the people on the board of the organization called for an investigation into her, like, where'd you get all that money from? As if she wasn't supposed to get paid that much, which is totally different than, and this is how a lot of charities and stuff work, you know, the CEO gets, you know, 500 grand a year or something, some ridiculous salary. In which case, you know, the board knew that wasn't really a crime. Everybody involved kind of knew. The donors are probably getting ripped off, but that's kind of their fault for not knowing, you know, what the organization is about and what they're doing with their money. That's, I mean, you take that risk anytime you donate.
Well,
but if the board, yeah, go ahead.
So on that point, I don't know if Roy did this when he was in the military, but they used to like get us to try to do donations every year. And I didn't know this when I was a kid, but they have like a book this thick of like the different nonprofits that you can donate to. And it breaks it down how much profit they get and how much they actually use for like nonprofit work. You'd be appalled seeing some.
Right.
Yeah, and your first sergeant and commander would make you guilty as hell if you didn't donate at all to like any of it. It's just $5 private. You can donate. It's bullshit. Right. You can't.
Like Wounded Warrior, garbage. Like their CEOs and board get paid more than what they donate by far.
Right. And so like and so for those, like, yeah, you can look at that and be like, okay, you know, but you should be able to look at that and say like, yeah, the CEO gets paid $500,000 a year and we think that's ridiculous, so we're not going to donate to that. And like, that's totally reasonable. But then to like, I guess my point is like, it doesn't matter what you did with the money. If you know, the real question is, did you steal it or not? Right. And I think that's what's really the important thing here. And so when a lot of people are talking about this, I'm kind of like trying to ask this question, and people, oh, they get fucking pissed just for me even asking this, because they think I'm defending her, right? And I'm like, not at all. I'm just trying to say, you know, I own property. I know a lot of people who own property. Most of the people who are complaining about her own property. Property is not the problem. Property is not the crime that she committed. And I think that's really important. And I think this relates in some way to the gun laws. Right? Because, you know, oh, he had a weapons charge. So what if he had a fucking weapons charge? He was stopped because he didn't use his blinker, right? Like all of this stuff is like, it's like a magic show where they always have us like, look over here while we steal from your pocket. It's insane. And I think, yeah, go ahead.
I work with a few people who, how should I put it? They're racist as hell. I can't fucking stand them. And, you know, like they bitch and complain about BLM. And I tried to, you know, talk with them about it and get them to understand, you know, like from the aspect of, you know, like why they even exist. And a lot of the mentality that a lot of people have and they share is that the number one complaint is that BLM, you know, is more for the Democratic side, because I pretty much live in MAGA country here, and you know, they're more for the Democratic side, and they're not actually helping the Black community out and everything, which I mean, they're the organization itself, they're not wrong. I mean, because if you follow the steps like with Act Blue and everything, you know, they're an organization that claims that they're supposed to be standing there for, you know, Black rights and everything, but then turn around and, you know, that's not, people are feeling right. Deceived, I think, is what it is with that money. And so that seems to be a lot of the general consensus of the argument, is that the money isn't going for the actual point of what the organization's for. It's actually going for other means.
I think it was 757 BLM 7 that posted something about that to make sure they created a website that gave you like the rundown to make sure that you're supporting your affiliate BLM chapters, not the national chapter, because of that kind of crap.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a friend out in California who was running for mayor, Nick Wildstar, and I don't remember if it was BLM or if it was like a big rally, and I think BLM was there as part of it, and he was trying to get in to promote his mayoral race, and because he wasn't a Democrat, they're like, nope, get the hell out of here. And he's like, he's basically supporting, you know, all the same, the Black Lives Matter message and everything else. And they're like, no, we don't want you here. Because it is, you know, it is kind of a front for a Democrat organization.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's probably why you have a Hillary Clinton type Marxist running it, who's, you know, becoming a millionaire off of it, just like Hillary did on everything she does. And it sucks, right? Because they had a great message, and a lot of people are out still using that message, and they don't even know, like, this is kind of like the underlying thing. I still don't know to this day if Black Lives Matter started as a movement before this organization came around, or if like the Democrats were like, hey, that sounds great, let's throw a couple $1 billion at it and just hijack it.
I know that the BLM, I guess he would be considered he's the state Texas leader, Patrick, that is speaking at our event. I've known since I even had anything to do with him last year that they were different. I've been trying to tell people that for like months. Yeah, I understand that you're against Marxism and socialism. I'm not a fan of it, but you're talking about a national organization that supports it, and the people that are behind it have had those type of ties. The movement and the thought behind it are not; they're completely different. Right.
I had ask me when I was explaining that, you know, the overall message of people out on the streets that are trying to push is different from the actual national organization. And somebody asked me, like, well, why don't they just change their name then? Why they got to be Black Lives Matter? And it's like, well, it's hard to explain, you know, because it's the same as like the Boogaloo, you know, how many people have tried to hijack that. It's like, don't all, it's the pride in what we're trying to do and accomplish.
If they change the name, it's like they lose all that support. So why would, especially if they're a nefarious organization, why would they want to do that? Right. I think you mentioned the 757, there was the DC, BLM DC posted on their Twitter. And they were like, yeah, what national BLM has done has like absolutely damaged what we're fighting for. Yeah. So it's, you know, like I said, it sucks, man, because that was a really great, I mean, it still is a really great message. And I think a lot of people are still carrying, you know, the true meaning of it. But it just sucks that there's all this corruption in there. And, you know, we should, I don't want to say like we should just abandon the idea at this point, but I think we should use it as a lesson to, you know, be aware that when any movement gets that big, there's going to be somebody hijacking it. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, there's always, you know, especially when it's that big, especially when it's that well organized, there's probably somebody with deep pockets behind it too, that's paying for a lot of, you know, whether it's protests, or I mean, you see people out there with like big signs, and like, you know, they're painting Black Lives Matter all down the street in New York, like with permission of the city. Like that's not something that a grassroots organization gets to come by too easily.
Just think about all the money that people have donated to the national organization since
$90 million they raised in 2020.
It's insane. It's insane. And all of those state chapters and local chapters didn't feel a dime of it, other than when they were trying to put on their own national event.
Right. No, that's a great point. So that 90 million figure came from the national organization. What did all the affiliates do? what did all the state and local, you know, city affiliates do?
Because I know
has
had to pay for all the stuff that he's done out of pocket.
Are they actually, is affiliate the right word? Are they all affiliated like as chapters to the national, or somewhat disassociated?
That was the verbiage they used on their website.
Because, like, I mean, I can't see the Washington D.C. affiliate talking shit about the national organization on their Twitter if they're like an actual affiliate. Because I would think that I would think that there would be, you know, some sort of an agreement as, you know, you're as an affiliate, you're a representative of the whole national. So, but that's really interesting. I kind of want to figure some more about how that actually operates.
I'm looking for the tweet right now.
Here, someone's talking about the Meet John Doe. There's a movie, Meet John Doe. A politician was trying to hijack the John Doe Club that encouraged people to know and help their neighbors. Yeah, I mean, if the nonprofit organizations are this bad, the government's twice as bad. They're not spending what you think they're spending your money on.
No,
it's ridiculous. We got a link here for. It's not going to let me copy it, is it? For it says the first official police versus army clash, and I can't click the link because this it's part of this chat thing. It doesn't want me to click the link. I'm gonna have to check that out later.
Fud's heads are exploding right now.
What's that?
I said Fud's heads are exploding right now. They're trying to figure out who to support, either the troops or back the blue.
Yeah, right. Man, it is really a mess. One other thing I wanted to say about the kid with the weapons charge, and sorry, I'm terrible with names. Now I just totally forgot what I was gonna say.
Blame.
Oh man. It was, yeah, I don't know. I'm burnt out. It's the end of the day. I've got to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to head to the airport to go to Iowa. We've got an awesome 2 weeks ahead. I am smuggling back some insulin. I'm going to be going to Austin. And of course, we didn't even talk about that. The rally coming up in Austin. Are you going to be there?
I will not be, unfortunately. By the time that I, you know, was getting wind of the rally and everything, I'm here in Ohio. I'm hearing a bunch of people will be heading down to Austin, though. But I didn't have enough time to really plan on my end. I actually had a few things come up for here in Ohio.
Awesome. Myra's in the chat. Yay, Iowa. Okay. I forgot I can do this. Trent's going to be there. It's going to be an awesome unity rally. I'm going to be speaking. Trent, you're going to be speaking, right? Who else is showing up?
My friend Patrick, the guy that I was talking about earlier from BLM in Texas, and a couple other guests. I don't want to throw them under the bus right now because I don't know if they're for sure coming, but a couple more special guests, hopefully.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. So it's going to be a great time. It's actually, I don't know if I told you this. It's my birthday on the 24th.
Oh no shit.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get arrested on your birthday.
He waited.
Yeah. So it'll be a great party, afterwards. And then of course, at I don't know, 6 in the morning the next day, I'm off to the airport again. back to Mexico to get another load full of insulin. So, yeah, so it's going to be awesome. And it's at the, I keep forgetting, Metro Park,
Butler Metro Park,
in Austin, which is just south of the Capitol, right across the bridge. Yeah, it's going to be an awesome time.
Yeah, hopefully we can get a good following. I've reached out to all the media and I'm trying to get people to show up media wise so they can film this unobjectively and be able to say, hey, look, you know, we're not what I'm trying to break the stigma. And that's our biggest push right now. Our optics were crap last year within the Liberty and Boogaloo movement, and we need to get it to change. We need people to understand that we're not here to intimidate them or fight them, that we're here to we want to be friends, man. And I tried to make it known, like, weapons or firearms are, I'm not saying you can't bring them, but it'd be preferred if you didn't, just because of the fact that we want to be open or welcoming to other sects and denominations of people. So, you know, let's not try to intimidate our guests, and, like, hopefully we can open up a good dialogue and get some people to start working together that are from the different sides of and spectrums of our country. Cause this divide is growing bigger and bigger each day, it feels like. And if we don't start bridging the gap, we're going to doom ourselves.
Right. Yeah, it's really amazing. And I mean, I've talked to so many people, it's really difficult sometimes, like, you know, because people make assumptions about me. You're a white male. We don't have anything in common. I don't want to talk to you. You're part of the problem. You're not poor like me. So therefore you're the oppressor. Like people have treated me like that. And it's really difficult because I really try to, you know, kind of overcome that and build a bridge with those people. And it's really difficult because sometimes these people, they, you know, they start throwing insults and everything. And it's like, you know, okay, I'm not going to engage in that fight, but I kind of get it too. Like, there are people who, like, this is probably a defense that they've built over time. It's not like they were just born like, hey, I'm going to hate certain people. It's a response to, you know, the things that they've already seen and experienced to get to this point in their life. And we need to figure out how to overcome that. And I get it, right? You don't want to just let your defenses down, because there are people out there who are going to try to harm you, whoever you are. You know, this is like, it's like the gun argument, right? Well, we have the police to protect us. You don't need guns. We should all disarm ourselves. We shouldn't do that, like, mentally or emotionally either, right? Like, there are people out there who are going to, you know, they don't like who you are for whatever reason, because of the way you were born, the genetics you have, the clothes you wear, the people you hang out with. There are going to be those offensive people, but we kind of have to, I don't want to say let our guard down, but at least be a little bit more open to connecting with people, because I think they're, like, I've talked to, like, so many of these people that are afraid to talk because of who I am. Oh, it's a libertarian. I don't want to talk to a stupid libertarian. And it's like, we have so much in common. If we would just, like, if you would just let me have a conversation with you. And it's really, I don't know. It's difficult and it's sad to see. And, like, I'm really hoping that, you know, we can start to overcome some of this and start bridging some of these gaps, because ultimately, I mean, the government's trying to screw us all. If we can at least work together on that. And I know we all have different issues where the government is screwing. And that's, you know, that's part of the divide and conquer, right?
Right.
Well, we take away these people's rights and they're fighting over here. And take away these people's rights and they're fighting over there. We keep them separate, so they're smaller groups and they're easier to manage. That's divide and conquer.
Well, I think a lot of the problem why it's kind of hard to open that conversation and the dialogue is because, if you think about it, there's a lot of, like, the patronizing talk from that woke crowd, you know, and those people speak from a privileged position, you know, and just sometimes are just so way off base with the people that they're trying to stick up for that it actually comes off as more offensive than actually defensive. And, you know, and it's frustrating because, I mean, that would be almost like something as simple as, like, let's say you stub your toe, for example, you know, and you've got somebody who's never stubbed their toe in their entire life and they're trying to help you feel better and they're just saying all the wrong things entirely, but they're trying to help. That's kind of the same scenario, just on a grander scale and a more serious scale. You know, I mean, it comparing this with stubbing your toe, I mean, it's not accurate, but I mean, to try and get other people to understand and see, I mean, this patronizing attitude's got to stop.
Yeah, no, it is the same thought process, I think. Like, that's, I mean, people think they're smart. Like, our brains are wired to think in such basic patterns at the end of the day. So we take those patterns and we reapply them to different situations and different things. So I think that analogy is actually really good. But I think at the same time, like, so the right thing to do is, like, just understand, you know, if somebody is trying to help and they're being like a total idiot about it, teach them, like, you know, that's not the right thing to say. I see this every day with, you know, friends in relationships and, you know, men and women and how they communicate differently. And it's like there's sometimes all you got to do is say, like, hey, you're doing the wrong thing, do this instead. And, like, people learn from it. We all learn. But, like, if we shut down and we say, fuck this, I don't want to have this conversation, then nobody learns anything. And we never progress. We never solve these problems. We never go anywhere. So people, I think that's,
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead. I was gonna say, so I think that's, like, a really critical part of it.
People can't take critique anymore. Like, they take it as being offensive that you're personally offending them in what you're saying. And I think that's all in context. Like, I prefer people to speak me. Like, I want to get better. You can't get better unless you have a good solid foundation of people that want to help you get better. And you should be the same for someone else. Like, I will always be honest with somebody. I will always tell them right away how I think, because in the long run, if you don't, you're going to suffer more together than I don't know. It could go a varying ways of on the spectrum. But I want to address that comment too. Skull, I'm from Minnesota as well.
And I think, you know, I mean, I guess that makes it both sides guilty, right? So, you know, instead of scolding someone for not doing the right thing, teach them how to do it better. But at the same time, you know, instead of scolding someone for criticizing you, on the other end of that, you know, learn to take criticism and learn to grow from it. I think that's a really good point. And it's something, again, these are things that are, like, these are extremely valuable life skills that, if your parents didn't have them, they couldn't teach them to you. Government, I don't think, has these skills. We know that from the way they escalate these things. So they're not going to teach them to you in their schools. I think this is a really, you know, and maybe this is a really important time for us to take to really start learning these things. But I think that, like, learning to get beyond that and being able to connect as human beings like that, I think is that's kind of our next step in society, I think. Because I think we're more diverse now than we've ever been as a society, as a global society. We're so diverse. I think that's, you know, this is really going to be, like, our next major hurdle as a society that we need to get through.
I hope so.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, I got to get running because I gotta pack and eat and be up for the airport in, like, a few hours. But it's awesome having you guys on. Actually, I want to give you an opportunity, if you want to give a quick plug for, if anyone wants to find out more about you, website, social media, any kind of stuff like that. We already plugged the event coming up at Butler Metro Park on Saturday the 24th. Trent, you want to go first?
No, let Roy go.
All right. Well, if you want to find out more about me, you can follow me at Class Country Boy on Twitter. I've been banned off pretty much every other social media, except I'm thinking about starting a Liberty TikTok. I haven't posted any videos yet. I got a few ideas I'm going to kick around. And also, too, I'm on the Goon Squad podcast. You can listen to that. I have some pretty good rants on there. Some are either half-assed research or, searched in, and I also welcome people to critique me on that and call me out and if I misspeak or give the wrong facts to fill me in. So go give that a listen. You can hear that on Spotify or iTunes or Anchor.
Yeah, the Goon Squad is great. Like I would recommend it to anybody. It hits he does a really good job of hitting on relevant current issues. And so if you I know when I listen to it, I get a lot from it. So I would definitely recommend the Goon Squad on Spotify. You can find our organization at caucusredacted.org, at caucusredacted on Twitter. Or the Redacted Caucus LP.org on internet. I'm also banned from most social networking sites except for Twitter. And that's kind of where we got the name Redacted was because we are they're trying to silence us, and so we ran with that. That's kind of a boog term.
Awesome. All right, guys. If you liked this episode, and even if you didn't, go ahead and like and share, and make sure to head over to YouTube/Taxation is Theft and subscribe. And also, if you want to get this as a podcast, you can go to wherever you get your favorite podcasts and just search for Taxation is Theft. Look for this big black and yellow logo over here, help us out. And then, of course, head over to taxationstheft.info and you can get all of our really cool swag. We have these awesome hats like I got on. We have flags, we have stickers, we have all kinds of really awesome stuff. Really awesome t-shirts too. If you really want to start some conversations and turn some heads, we've got one that says, "Ask me why taxation is theft." It does get people to stop and ask you, and it starts a conversation, and really awesome things happen. So all right, guys. Yeah,
I
go
got one
ahead.
more thing. Um,
Yep.
we, we will be having swag at the event on the 24th. Both Dan Berman stuff. I have all of his campaign t-shirts and signs, and we will also be having the Redacted Caucus swag. We will be able to take cash, card. We'll have everything set up by then. So hopefully, you guys help support a good cause, and everything that we use goes straight back into the Political Action Committee.
Awesome. All right, guys, until next time, taxation is theft.